The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Football on Off the Ball.
Halftime show. What was it, 27 minutes long? Yeah. That's shocking. That's absolutely shocking. The players should be the main focus here. I mean, it's a game of football we've all come to see. We haven't come to see the Muppets.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
We'll get back to the World Cup final in a few minutes, and we'll get back to the hurling as well, for sure. But obviously, I mentioned at the top of the show, really, really sad news today. The announcement of the death of legendary player, manager, Kevin Keegan at the age of 75. We're going to talk to one of his former teammates in just a second. But I just want to play you a little clip here. He joined Nathan Murphy and John Giles back in 2020. It was a celebration of John Giles' 80th birthday. And here's what Gilesy had to say about Keegan.
I'd have the highest respect for Kevin. In my opinion, Kevin Keegan transformed Liverpool when he came. Was it from Shrewsbury, Kevin?
Scunthorpe,
right? Liverpool went from 66 to 73 without winning a trophy. And Kevin Keegan was responsible for the transformation of Liverpool at that particular period. I had a clash with him at Wembley, as we know. But I have the highest respect for Kevin Keegan. What he did for Liverpool, there's no doubt. Liverpool had gone a few seasons without winning a trophy, and Kevin Keegan transformed Liverpool. I've no doubt about that. And people think I mightn't like Kevin because we had a little bit of a clash at Wembley. A little bit of a clash.
Just a little bit. It was only a minor skirmish.
What did you do to him, Kevin? Because we don't understand, because John Giles is the gentleman. John Giles wouldn't react like that. What did you do?
Yeah, the Johnny Giles that you know was a gentleman, but the Johnny Giles that played for Leeds was like his twin brother. When he went on a football pitch, it was another Johnny Giles. He was lovely off the pitch.
One of the most famous incidents of Kevin Keegan's career, the Charity Shield. That time, Steve, have some details on this sad news.
Yeah, the former England manager and captain Kevin Keegan died aged 75. The double Ballon d'Or winner announced last month he'd been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He enjoyed a playing career with Scunthorpe, Liverpool, Hamburg, Southampton and Newcastle and scored 21 goals in 63 international appearances. A trailblazer in the club game in the 70s, he scored 100 goals in 323 appearances for Liverpool, winning 3 league titles, an FA Cup, European Cup and 2 UEFA Cups. He left Anfield for a then British transfer record fee of £500,000 to join Hamburg in 1977. And it was there he won those back-to-back Ballon d'Or awards in 78 and 79. He won a league title with the German side as well. Keegan then went on to management, taking charge of Newcastle, Fulham, Manchester City and England. His spell at Newcastle really was incredible, brought in to save them from relegation to the third tier of English football in February 1992. He did that and then went on to win the First Division the following season and then promotion to the Premier League. The Magpies finished third in the Premier League in their first season, qualifying for Europe, six then in the 94-95 season, before that infamous 95-96 season when they led the table by 12 points in January before ending in second place behind Manchester United. His family said today that he was a much-loved husband, father and grandfather.
Absolutely, and a much-loved football figure as well. Phil Thompson, his former teammate at Liverpool, joins us on the line now. Phil, terrible news today.
Hiya, Mitch. It was absolutely shocking news. Obviously, we all heard the news a little while ago, but for it to happen so quickly has just been absolutely devastating. It really caught me on the hop. I knew he wasn't well. He had conflicting stories that he was going to do an appearance somewhere. And it was just absolutely such sad news. For Gene and all his family, they must be absolutely devastated.
Yeah. Phil, the one thing that comes across watching from afar over many, many years of Kevin Keegan being in our lives is what a just genuinely nice guy he was, and like he would seem like someone that would go out of his way, you know, to maintain friendships, to plead, to not let people down, I would say, again, kind of looking from far away. Is that indicative of the Kevin Keegan you knew?
No, it is. And that was one of the great things about Kevin. Nobody had a bad word for Kev. You can go on and we always talk about the greats and this fellow was good and this fellow. With this, Kevin Keegan had time for everybody. He would spend hours. He would go along to do something. And if he was supposed to finish at 10 o'clock, he'd still be there at midnight. He never refused a photograph. He never refused a signature. When we played for England, he was a superstar worldwide. We could be in Romania or something. There'd be scruffy kids standing at the front just wanting a scrap of paper be signed. He would sit on the front step of the bus and he would sign everything. Till Ron Green would have to go, Kev, we really need to go. And he'd apologise to the kids in his, obviously, his way and say, look, I've got to go. But he wouldn't let anybody down. He was the most humble of people. And it was, he knew his limitations in life. Which pushed him to greatness. But the other side is he knew, particularly with England manager's role, that he didn't have what it takes to take a team forward. And he was similar with Newcastle. And that was the greatness, the honesty that this guy had within the game. And yes, we'll all go, oh, yeah, everybody. But this fella was truly one of those guys, one of those greats.
Yeah. Do you know what? That last game in the old Wembley has come up a few times in conversation here in the office today, because I do think it was a little bit unique. I do think him kind of coming in that time and just saying, you know, I haven't done a good enough job here, I'm off, not worrying about, like, you know, what his reputation looked like or what his payoff was going to be or whatever it was. He was just kind of like, honest, I'm ready to move aside and let somebody else do it. There was something incredibly honest about all of that.
Well, it was honest and unique, and that's what Keegan was about. You know, I was there as obviously a younger lad, 3 years as junior at Liverpool, and he came in, and it was honesty about everything that he did, his drive, his determination from that very first pre-season, and he just wanted it so much. I remember a game at Southport. I'm a young lad. Kevin's just joined. And we played at Southport. It was 0-0 at half-time. And nobody went against Ronnie Moran, who was our manager of the reserve team. And Kevin at half-time sat there in the dressing room and he went, we're never going to score playing like this. We're never going to score. And he went, oh, do you think you can do better, son? And he said, yeah, I can. And he said, OK, will you play up front? He scored 2 goals. And it was, he knew what he wanted. And it was the drive that took him to greatness. And I was listening to Johnny Giles there, and he was talking about him and Billy Bremner. They could have played for Argentina, them two. They were that bad. they were in cahoots against Kevin in 74. But listen, some of the things that he said there, we were in search of a hero. After our great 60s, my 60s, of Roger Hunt in St. John, we were in search of, in those early 70s, of a hero, of a superstar. And a long-haired lover came along and he just transformed the football club. He really did.
Yeah.
And it was him and Shankly. Shankly and Keegan, the both of them were in harmony. And, oh, Kevin was just, honestly, those early years, he could do anything.
Yeah. And was it from the work ethic and the mindset, because like obviously he's played, like he's with Scunthorpe for quite a while, and like he comes to Liverpool in 71 and kind of like quickly enough becomes like the big player of that team and, you know, the mainstay. But I mean, it obviously wasn't, he wasn't like someone that was scouted from a young age or anything like that.
He was just had these values which suited Liverpool. Liverpool suited Keegan. There's been quite a lot of players like that. But Kevin came in and was so single-minded of what he wanted. And he was just, he wanted to be a superstar and the fans took to him straight away. His work rate was infectious.
Mm.
you talk about high press and things like that. Keegan was full of it. Him and Toshack were just quite incredible. Honestly, they were the pair of strikers who were just perfect match. Big man, small man.
Yeah.
Kevin could easily sort of play off Tosh. And it was just something which was just made in heaven, the pair of them.
Yeah. And I suppose that work rate and everything like that in the press is kind of what made him such a great player. What was like? Is there anything else that kind of stood out to him as a footballer, like be it with Liverpool England? Because obviously, other than like maybe 101 great goals videos, none of us will have seen him.
Oh, they were great. You know, Wembley, scoring two goals at Wembley in 74 to beat Newcastle was something, and then going on to greatness with Newcastle. But it was what he did for England. You've got to imagine, Mick, this guy became a world superstar, like George Best.
Mm.
This fellow was, at the time, played for Liverpool, but then went to Hamburg, got his pen, which was a massive... I think he copied mine, that was. But he was just this guy who stood out. And in 1982 in the World Cup in Spain, I think if Kevin had been fully fit, he only played the last 15 minutes of the second phase of the group stage. We played against Spain and West Germany and two not bad sides. And he only played the last 15 minutes against Spain. And if he had a chance, Trevor Brooken, who'd been injured, had a chance, they'd have been fit for that second stage. I do think we could have got further than that, but hey-ho, hasn't that been ever thus?
Absolutely. Before I let you go, just a couple more questions on Kevin's life. When he went into management, again, we kind of mentioned his time at England there, but again, it was his character. It's just, you think of the early days of the Premier League and all of the success that Manchester United had and Alex Ferguson being the central character of all that. Like, his greatest foil was Keegan. And again, not just for that one moment that we'll see over and over again in that interview, but what I do think that I saw some people say that like playing that is kind of disrespectful to him today, but I did think that did kind of sum him up in a way. He was someone who was kind of like, he playing the game on its merits. And when he saw somebody like Ferguson, maybe kind of like, you know, try to twist it or try to do it sort of differently, he genuinely was just so furious at the whole thing. But again, he was someone that you saw, like, I saw a clip recently of the two of them together at the opening ceremony of Euro 96 on ITV's coverage. And they were best pals again. Like, you know, he got over it pretty quickly. But it actually did sort of sum him up, didn't it?
But that was Kevin. You know what? That's what you have to understand. He had this love affair with Liverpool. He had this love affair with Newcastle and the Geordies. And he wears his heart on his sleeve. And he wanted to tell not just that TV, but he wanted to tell the world. There's no, you know, I'd love it. And it was a moment of absolutely pure television. And Kevin was there in the moment. He didn't care what it was about. He was just the love of Newcastle and how he was going to hopefully try and drive Newcastle to the title. And if it was with Alec, Kevin was like that. Kevin could absolutely rail against the world and then the next week be best mates with everybody. He had that wonderful nature about him. Of all the greats that I've been and sort of been around, Kevin was the nicest, most humble of every player that I've ever played with. And I tell everybody that. I'm not just saying it for you guys now.
Yeah.
It has been what has been mandated, and people will know that.
The last thing then, Phil, is like he was one of football, maybe post like George Best, but he was almost the next one, wasn't he? He was like, there weren't too many kind of international superstars around the place in football in the 1970s. Kevin was definitely one, be it brute ads, his hair, everything like that. But I don't know, it was never someone that seemingly came across like a superstar.
No, he didn't. And that's why I say the humility of the guy was just amazing. He was the first guy that I ever knew had an agent. Mm. And we were shocked. Why do you need an agent? We just signed contracts with Liverpool, and then all of a sudden, Kev had this agent. You know, he was driving a sort of Jaguar sports car. And you go, oh my goodness. Well, he had worked his way up. It didn't change him as a person, which was the great thing. But you just knew with Kev as he went along with different stages of his life, he deserved everything that he got out of football and out of life after it. He was just incredible. But what a player. And he was timing of this long-haired guy, George Best, what he gave to the game. And he was completely out of the norm. And then lo and behold, Kevin Keegan, Liverpool, long hair. And he was just sensational.
Mm. Listen, Phil Thompson, thanks so much for popping on this evening to pay tribute to your friend, Kevin Keegan. Like, that was lovely stuff there, lads. Like, I mean, it's hard to kind of imagine, you know, Steve-O. I'm sure you do as well, Arthur, you remember it. But, like, for our people our age, Steve-O, he's like, Keegan was such a huge figure, wasn't he, growing up? Like, be it the Newcastle manager, but also he was the guy your dad kind of talked about, wasn't he? Like, from the previous generation, it was just always Liverpool fans, especially in your life, would always be Keegan, you know?
That's the thing, like, and do you know something? I went to have a look at the Ballon d'Or winners because, as I mentioned in the script, he won back-to-back Ballon d'Or, 78, 79. So you think he was the best footballer for two seasons. Like, you think about how high his level must have been at that time. And I was saying to you guys earlier in the studio, you know, obviously Messi and Ronaldo are at a ridiculous 8 and 5, respectively, Ballon d'Or awards. Then you go under that and you look at the only other players that have won more than one Ballon d'Or aside from Keegan. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Alfredo Di Stefano, Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, Franz Beckenbauer, Marco van Basten, Johan Cruyff and Michel Platini. Like, what an array of footballers you have there. And to think that Kevin Keegan is up with those players. I only wish that he had been maybe playing a bit more within our lifetimes to see exactly how good he was. But that kind of gives you a bit of perspective, I think.
100%. Okay, we'll leave it there. We will come back and do the rest of the news round, including more talk on the hurling and the All-Ireland final after this.
Off the Ball Daily.